Everybody, one, two, three. Yoko, yoko, yoko.
Show.
Is that the chord?
Show.
Let's start the show.
A couple of guys from Gaston Light. Welcome to the latest installment of the Local Yokel Show here from Tomcast Studio.
Thank you very much.
Why don't you guys introduce yourselves? Obviously, you're, what, three guys down for now?
For right now. Today, we spiced it up. Just brought in I myself, Jason Corcoran. I play guitar and sing.
I'm Spencer Adamson. I play the keys.
Right on. Well, y'all just have a album coming, you just came out
supposedly
a couple
months ago. I write songs.
Oh yeah.
Supposedly I write the songs.
Well, before we get into the new record and all that stuff, you've been writing since you were 14, and just tell a little bit about your back. You're a classically trained pianist.
Yes,
and I mean, tell us a little bit about yourself.
As far as my background musically, honestly, I think I'm kind of the I don't know, I mean, at the same time, it's just for me, it was the music that was played in my house specifically. Like, a lot of Tom Waits. I remember growing up, Mule Variations had just come out, and I was like 14, I think. And like,
you're making me feel old now.
You know, Big in Japan kept coming on like every fucking morning in my house. And it was like amazing to me. So I got really obsessed with that record, and that kind of just kept going. My dad showed me records and friends, and that's kind of how it happened for me. Honestly, I can still remember just the boom. That's why I write that.
Spencer,
him beatboxing,
how about you?
Tom,
all right, yeah. Well, I mean, I've been playing piano since I was about 4 years old. The story goes is that my nanny used to have a grand piano, or an upright rather. And I used to tinker on it, and yeah, the story is that when I was 4 years old, I walked up to my mom and said, I have to learn the piano, and I've just been doing it ever since, going on, 17 years, 18 years.
Where'd you go to school for it?
Well, I originally learned out of the Master's Touch School of Music in Grapevine, Texas. That's where the majority of my classical training took place. You know, I've moved everywhere though. I graduated high school in Minnesota and decided to move back to Texas, you know, to follow the blues. I was really getting into, you know, blues guys like Muddy Waters, Stevie Ray, you know, a lot of the British blues guys too. You know, you know, Jimmy Page, I'm a big fan of.
I like that you're forcing him to talk this much. He's like freaking out right now. Seriously, he's freaking out that he's having to talk this much.
It's funny,
totally,
you know. Most of my influences are guitarists, but you know, I'm a big like Keith Emerson guy, John Lord guy. You know, it's my dream to be that skilled. You know,
Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. You guys, in case you didn't know that.
Yeah.
Why would you assume that we didn't know that?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
None of us did. We were like, yeah, just roll with it. Nod. Yep. Well, yeah, obviously, I mean, are the other guys as well versed, or, you know, obviously, do they know as much about music? Just listen to y'all talk when y'all first showed up. I was kind of like, oh shit, we got some music nerds in here.
Yeah. I mean, yes. Everyone, and like, I pride myself, like, on the band being that. Not even that we're, we're nerds, but, like, I mean, just, like, we care, I mean, it's, like, it's what we really care about, and, like, it'd be, like, I mean, we were just, like, at the Double Wide, like, and this is, like, after spending, like, 3 days on the road together, like, we just went and hung out by ourselves together, and just, like, just talked about music. It's, like, what we do, and everyone in the band, like, he'll after a show, or I will write for hours after a long show, and he'll be up, you know, working on piano, you know, after
well,
a show.
And just like, I don't know if everybody is here or not, but for the people that can't see as well, like Jason, we were saying which one we normally film a video, and we were like, well, which song do you want the video on? He's like, well, damn it, that was supposed to be a surprise. And he turns to the pianist and turns to Spencer and goes, we're going to do this and this, but we're going to do it in a waltz. So he wanted to like throw it on him in the last minutes, and now he got at least a couple of minutes.
I know, he's actually figuring things out.
What's your normal instrumentation?
Normal instrumentation would be drums, bass, me on guitar, electric. I've been doing and switching, and then him on piano.
I got you.
So five piece. And then we're bringing in another piano player, though. So it's going to be a six piece. And we're going to be like, we're already like, we don't have any money, but we're going to specifically like not have any money after a six number. And like, we know that. Like, we know that. Literally, we're totally aware of it, but we know we all agree it would
sacrifice.
Add to the sound. We all agree.
There's always Kickstarter.
Dumb.
Well, I'll tell you what. Hey, y'all want to play us a song?
Yeah.
Come on.
Spencer, it's your choice. I'm always choosing.
Well, what's the name of it? Yeah.
Let me think. You want to do Athens?
Okay.
Does Athens work for me?
This is the first song off the record. It's a murder ballad that's been getting weird looks, and applause do not happen for a long time after it. Your French tongue in a southern town, your scarlet lips and eyes of brown. I saw your silhouette in my gold headlights flashed a drunken grin. Asked, do you wanna ride in my baby blue Ford? Neither of us spoke. On a long dirt road, dust clouds rose. I turned the radio up, you rolled the windows down. You said, where are we going? I only laughed out loud. A broken man with no one to talk to. A broken heart with my eyes fixed on you. When you came around, I put you in the ground. And now I see myself again. Spencer's never done background vocals. Clutched your pale throat, yelled, get the fuck out. Leaning over your body as you lay on the ground, I whispered, everything's fine. As I pulled your hair, a silver blade sliced through the cold black air. Red ribbons of blood slowly float into the mud. Is your soft cry ceased? Well, I picked you up and walked you into the woods where the pine trees sway. Laid you in a pile of leaves and said, I'm sorry, babe. A broken man with no one to talk to. A broken heart with my eyes fixed on you. When you came around, I put you in the ground. And now I see myself what I can. October morn, surrounded by lilies and crowned with thorns. My town had a funeral. The priest said a prayer. And while she was lowered, I just smiled and stared.
Damn. Kick ass.
I thought I burned those journals.
Well, man, yeah.
So I wonder why people don't clap after that song.
Well, you know, the ending, y'all are like in an environment, but we did that, I remember, the worst, we did the first Texas tour, we did Green Hall, and I didn't know this, but I guess some people specifically went up to Spencer, like, and were sincerely upset. Like, really, like, we're upset, and because it is an all-ages place, so there were kids in there, and, like, I didn't take it into account. Like, it was, like, early kind of, like, we drove from San Antonio, and I was, like, my girlfriend was yelling at me on the other, man, yeah, but it just, like, I had a shiner in my hand, and I was in the bathroom, and, oh, man, it was a weird morning, but anyway, point being, that song has gotten the weirdest reactions, some, you know, the times we play it in the right environment, it works, but nowhere else has it worked. Like, honestly, you know.
That's a cool song.
You know, and like, he's never sang backup before, ever. This is the first time he's ever sang backup. So this
that was
is
very
kinda,
cool.
That was a classic reaction.
Yeah.
I hope you're rolling video on that one.
Yeah, well, and then I threw him off because I just added a second musical, like, four bars just to fuck him up after he fucked me up. Because that was unfair. So only to be fair was I about to do that.
Hey, welcome, Peter.
Hi, Peter.
Hey, how's it going?
Peter, Jason, and Spencer.
Back to the interview, brah.
So you had moved up to L.A. for about 4 years. What actually took you to L.A.?
What took me to L.A., oh, man, I guess the dream or some idea that, like, out there would I mean, I played locally, like, a lot, you know, and to be honest, I went unnoticed. Like, I played as Jason Corcoran here in Dallas, like, as a kid from 14 to 18, and I had the idea to go to L.A. and try it, not much money, and just tried it, there were successes, obviously, along the way that, like, got, but it was a lot of mostly failure, like, to be honest, and, like, a lot of just, like, kind of, like, L.A. is an interesting town. I'm sure you all know it. They have experienced it,
just kicked your ass.
Basically, yeah, it did, and you know, there's a lot of, like, there was some substance abuse of other substances that also, outside of alcohol that got, you know, into
right.
the mix.
Well, that's, I mean, that's all over the everything. Everybody's yeah. kind of known. That's public stuff, right?
Why are you holding?
Well, and, you know, here's the thing is, like, you get a press release like that, and, you know, I was open enough to say it. I'm not going to, like, I'm not here, okay, like, oh, holy shit. Like, someone had a drug problem. Like, okay.
Well, did you ever make a comment about, like, some of the songs were that's what that was about, or that was some of what you were writing about? Because that's pretty much, somebody obviously got told that at some point for them to print that, you know?
Yes, it did get printed, and it was off the record, I thought. And this gentleman no longer works. Just of recent.
Ah, yeah.
Oh, our buddy.
We're all familiar with him.
Yeah.
You mean Reet Piedman?
Yeah, he's our friend.
I mean, yeah.
Feet.
No, I mean, and you know, and to be fair to Pete, I didn't have a problem with it, and I embrace it. I really do. Like,
yeah.
I don't. Like, to be fair, it's like, it's in the songs. Like, I'll talk about it.
Right.
You know.
Well, I mean, and if you think about it, though, I mean, 4 years as a struggling musician, that's not really a failure. You know what I mean? If you lasted for 4 years and were doing enough or making enough money to survive and eat and live.
Well, I mean, I was working. You know, okay. I mean, I was working as a waiter at a Holiday Inn at Highland and Hollywood Boulevard, right by the Hollywood Bowl. And, you know, working too, but, you know,
right.
trying. And finally, a thing happened where I made a record. I finally, the money and the right guy who believed in me, who was willing to not make it for much, and we did it. We did so much pre-production that then we recorded it super fast, which surprises people because when they hear it, it's a lush record. And it is. But we just put a lot of work into it. So when we went in there, we all fucking knew our stuff. And we did not do many takes at all.
Well, so you moved back and you put out the album pretty quick after you moved back, right?
Yeah.
I mean, were you coming back and forth before you? But you got signed, and then you put it out. What, like 7 months later, you put out a record, right?
Yeah.
For Idol Records.
I literally did not come back to Dallas during that time. Outside, I did not leave LA. I believe I went to San Diego once during the. I was too afraid. To be honest, I had really bad phobias too. I was like suffering from really bad phobias, and I could not get on an airplane. Like I was so fucking afraid to get on an airplane. And I like wouldn't fly home, like my family.
Really? What was that? Was that something you've always had?
Yeah,
or?
Just like phobia, like.
So
stuff.
Did you drive to LA when you moved out there?
Literally, yeah.
Okay.
Drove out there.
So
yep.
Have you ever been on an airplane?
Since I have.
Okay.
I can get on an airplane now, but I wouldn't for years, you know.
Well, what when you came back when you were up in LA? Were you playing with the band the full time, or was it you doing just Jason Corcoran?
Corcoran, yeah.
Excuse me.
And yeah, I mean, it was mainly solo, and I had a band called Jason Corcoran and the Subterraneans, and a guy in LA who's kind of like a big, or whatever, like The Village, you know, The Village Recorder in Santa Monica. It's like a really great studio, and a guy there is still a really great friend of mine allowed me to do some work, and that allowed me to be able to make this record is because he found a producer who really believed in me, and we made it as really small Venice apartment, like literally his tiny, I mean, like this, but in the sense it was a house, you know, with his studio, but it was like so tiny. And
you're talking about Peel?
Peel.
Oh,
it was
okay.
Made in a room. I mean, I can't even, yeah, I mean, you know, tiny and the whole thing. So,
well, how long did it take you to record?
As I said, a lot of pre-production, and the actual recording of instruments was done in, I think, 4 days.
Right on. Well, what made you come back and call it Gaston Light versus Jason Corcoran?
Right. So then the turn of events was I came home. Nate Fowler, if anyone's familiar with Nate, one of the best men ever, like, honestly. He's been, like, one of my best friends since, I mean, I've known Nate since I was 16 years old. He played on a record I did with Mike Schwedler, if anyone knows.
Yeah.
And Mike Schwedler played drums on it when I was 17, and Kenley Wolf played bass on it, and I can't remember Mike's friend. Anyway, like, essentially Nate like really encouraged me, like, this record's like, I'd kind of tried the whole like getting it out in LA, I did, you know, like, and it didn't bite or whatever, and I came home and did not know anything, like, I was just like, maybe this record's meant. Nate kind of was like, I think it's, you know, a Texas record, and essentially I met Irv at before, if anyone knows, Nate hurt his hand again.
Yeah.
You know, and really badly, and he was
full
recovery.
That's
but if anyone doesn't know, of recent, he other hand.
Oh,
no,
really?
Shit.
Broke.
What happened?
Bro, well, the other one is, as y'all know, shattered.
Yeah.
Was the other one, just broke, but still, he was he's working down at the Meridian Room. And sorry if I'm like just doing so much.
No, that's
sorry.
Good. Yeah, that's good.
I feel like I'm in a living room. Y'all are so cool and chill. But yeah, and
you just know a guy who owned that place where.
Yeah,
networks.
Simon used to own the Meridian.
Yeah,
back in the day.
So there you go. But and then he a guy fell off a ladder onto him. And anyway, he gave it to Irv, and Irv essentially I
said come to Idol.
I wouldn't say, you know, it happened rather quickly, obviously. Like, I was surprised, in a sense. But at the same time, I believe, you know, Irv believed in it, and I was persistent in the sense that I really believe in touring, too, and that's something Irv believes in. And you
look, I'm kind of a little bit messed up on the timeline. So did you move back,
mm-hmm.
signed with them in February, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then went back and recorded?
No. I made the record.
It was all done.
Done.
Oh, okay.
Done.
Why'd you wait till September to put it out after you signed in February?
We just weren't ready. Like,
okay.
I wasn't ready, to be honest. Like, I didn't have a band.
That goes back to the touring part. Okay,
yeah,
fair enough.
I mean,
all right.
Irv literally told me, he was like, I don't think you'll find a band here. And he was kind of right. I didn't end up finding a band here. It took some other, you know, some guys. And, you know, Spencer's a Denton guy. And, you know, two of the other guys are Denton guys. And then LA guys, you know.
Cool.
It was hard to find. I got a lot of musicians on board the night before the first tour, the band, there's a picture of it I just saw last night. Like, four guys from Fort Worth literally were just like, we're not going to make any money. Like, we can't do this. And swear to God, like the night before the tour.
Flaky musicians, right?
Him and I did the first tour by ourselves. We got in a car and said, fuck it, we're going. These dates are booked. And we did them.
Cool, man. Well, I'll tell you what, we got a few more questions, but y'all want to play another song real quick?
I'm going to do it. A new one, if y'all don't mind. Empty park, a crowded plane, the moonlit dark or a sunny day. I'm always still within some cage, scratching at the breeze. Below this blue ancient tarp, God threw up at the start. It trapped the beat in my heart that quickly speeds. I feel all right, I feel let down by this life that I live. A lonely tenant, the landlord yields a single tear. Yeah, a bad joke, yeah, one that he wrote. So sorry. Tom's song or Hunter's ring soften the sounds it sing into my head on a day of spring. Poison with rain, books filled with information, meditation, oval medications creates a mild sedation and keeps me sane. I feel all right, I feel let down by this life that I live. A lonely tenant, the landlord yields a perfect laugh. Yeah, sad joke, yeah, one that he wrote. So sorry. Once it was war, and then peace. Pill on my tongue, a palette of drinks. I have learned and finally seen they don't always make it worse. Today I try and do as I please. No more chattering teeth, especially won't slur my speech to make a bad feeling reverse. I feel all right, I feel let down by this life that I live. A lonely tenant, the landlord yields a perfect laugh. Yeah, a sad joke, yeah, one that he wrote. So sorry.
Well, we were kind of touching on this a second ago, and I mean, just doing just a little bit of research that I do, because I don't do much, but talking to all the people that I talked to about you, it just seems like you got a pretty damn cool support group here in Dallas. You know, just like doing shows with Salim, a lot of the mainstays and kind of the veteran guys around Dallas that we've been watching for years seem to talk nothing but good stuff about you. So, I mean, how'd you come about getting involved with, you know, Salim and just, you know, obviously
Nate Fowler
and those guys, yeah.
You know,
because you're a bit younger than those guys.
I'm 22, and I, to be honest, those guys like are heroes of mine. Like, and I'm not kidding when I use that word, like not like lightly. I mean, I met Nate and the level of friendship that developed, or you know, I was scared shitless of these guys. I mean, I'm dead serious. I remember the first time I met Nate and Kenley and some of those guys was Mike Schwedler was managing me, and I was super young. You know, I was like 17, and I remember, you know, I walked into the Granada Theater, and I had never met anyone, and like I had these three songs or four songs that we were gonna do for this EP, and I remember Nate and I got in there. Nate even says later, he was like, I don't know who the fuck this kid is. I just know, like, Mike asked me to do it, basically. Like, seriously, you know? And he was like, I remember, you know, he said I came in, and he was like, yeah, you look nervous as shit. And I was, and it showed, probably. And, you know, there was this moment on stage, a guy was doing sound, and Nate was doing a guitar part. And I'm sorry, this is not what you're asking, but I just love this story, because I only heard it later. So I just heard this, and I love it. And Nate does this guitar part, and I guess someone says something like, yeah, it sounds very like Chris Isaac. And Nate, both of us, looked at each other and didn't know each other, really. And I went over, like, I had the balls, and I whispered to him, and I was like, do the polar opposite of Chris Isaac. And I said, will you claw at it a little bit more? And he, like, looked at me, and I remember he said, like, claw, like, oh, whoa, weird, 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 because I guess Chris Whitley had said something to him like that. And and so, like, there was this bond, like, right away. Like, I hung out at Nate's house every day for, like, 2 years, literally after school, like, in high school, you know. And sorry, but, and then Salim, people like, I mean, those guys are here, like, Salim is the sweetest human being, like, I, you know, I know, and, you know, Nate and those guys, they're all, they're legends in their own right, like, seriously, it, to me, personally, like, I really care about them, too, so.
Well, you're lucky, you know, I mean, there's a lot of cool people around here that could either help you or hurt you. You seem like you're in with the people that are looking out for you, at least, that's good.
Yeah, seriously, and you're right, yeah.
Well, talk about what's going on. Like, obviously, you know, now with the record out, y'all are, and you've been touring, what, last month, and you're going back?
Tour pretty relentlessly.
Yeah, that's something we pride ourselves on. Yeah. Like, you know, to me, it's kind of a joke that if you don't, like, get out there and do it, like, pretty heavily too. It's like, you know, I mean, like, guys, you know, work 9-to-5 jobs. It's like, holy shit, we have to drive in a van and play a show at night and, like, fucking play in front of people and, like, maybe make a little dough. Like, that's not a bad gig, I swear. Like, and maybe no dough, but, like, at the end of the day, it's like, I don't understand, like, people who put out records and even if I, you know, I don't know. I just personally could not put out a record and just
Not share it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and that's part of it. I mean, truthfully, because it's no longer mine.
Well, and especially being on a label, you got to support it and maybe get some record sales and pay them back. To, you know, all your first sales obviously go to them, I'm sure.
Yeah, and the truth is that like, I Irv is a legend to me. I was terrified of Irv, and I just met, you know, like, and he's someone who I'm on the phone with, and we talked last night off the road for... Well, I was in Fort Worth for like just an hour, like an hour, just in the parking lot, just talking about life and everything. And it's an honor, and I treat it very seriously. That like he invested in me, like I have to do the same, or if I don't, like I'm a shitty employee.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm sure record labels wish everybody thought like you did.
Well, I wish my employees thought like you did.
And you know what? Not to say we're selling records, and that's not the point necessarily. The point is I can't say we'll sell records, but we won't stop.
Right. At least represent the label properly.
And I'll tell, yeah, you know, like, we won't stop. I don't, you know, Irv and I know it's not selling many records, you know, or I'm not, Irv and I, those are things we discuss, but it's like, I'm not going to stop just because, like, it's like, oh, holy shit, people aren't responding. It's like, no, like, keep going.
When do y'all get back on the road?
The 11th. We leave for, I'm trying to... If anyone in here, anyone listening, I know it's not live, shit. I'm so used to that. Okay. But on the 10th, we are looking for a gig before we leave for Lubbock and we go out to L.A. And then he's going to drive back for certain, and I'm going to stay out there, I think, and kind of do some solo stuff. And
Then y'all are coming back. And
Yeah, December 2nd, we'll be playing at the Belmont.
Yeah.
Which I'm, like, that I know, like, to me, like, you think I'm kidding, but it's, like, that's, like, honor, like, for me, like, personally, like, to, like, play there. And you know, we're going to do that. And then on the 3rd, we leave for a big Southeast tour. Cool. So,
yeah. Well, you got any you got any places that you've already been once that you're going to hit again? Any favorite spot on the tour?
This last tour, man, Nebraska, I just have to say, as a state, like, in general, Omaha and Lincoln were fucking incredible. Like, I can't say enough about those towns. As people who came out to the show and really, they bought CDs and they put us up at their home and they took care of us, and, like, I mean, literally. And we met people in Wichita. They put us on their couch and gave us a little food the next morning. And it's really fucking cool. Like,
do y'all have, like, Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff? We could follow you guys on the road.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We already
do.
We
follow Gaston Light.
For everybody else, though.
It's www.facebook.com/GastonLightMusic. And I purchased GastonLight.com personally, and I can't find a web designer who is willing to do it for – I can't pay them. I can't. Like, for free. Like,
for a donation,
I can't. And you know what? I have found, like, the music video, Half Awake, like, that Matt Parrish, the guy who did that, completely free. I met him on Craigslist. I shot that thing. I called up Irv and told him I'm shooting that at 4 a.m., a music video for Half Awake tomorrow morning. And we shot it, and we had it edited within 4 days. And we shot it that day in, like 8 hours.
Jason.
Right. Yeah, sorry.
Rainy.
Well, cool, man. Well, hey, good luck on the road. It's been a pleasure having you guys, man. Y'all want to play one more song for us?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
All right, dude. Good luck to you guys.
Thank you very much. Like, honestly, thank you.
No problem.
Thank you, guys.
And this is a song called...
Hear that, Rainy? Video edited and done in 4 days.
I bet he doesn't travel.
He's fucking bed
every now and then.
Okay, well, okay. The truth is this was supposed to be a complete surprise, and we still haven't. This is a song called Xanax Blues, which is on the record. By the way, all the songs were on the record except that last song. This song is on the record as well. It's called Xanax Blues, and I wasn't supposed to, but it's a waltz. It's a straight up like Johnny Cash beat, you know, train beat. But that's how he's used to it. That's how he's used to it. So he's too fucking tight. You know, we're going to loosen them up right now and fuck them up and see what happens and do it as a waltz. We literally have never done it. But I know he's been working out parts in his head. I know he has ever since he fucking heard that. So this is Xanax Blues in a waltz. Like the buds on the tulip, but I just drink from that same poison cup. Shaking hands, eyes that shun, far away from the life that paints my day. Till I'm gone with a smile crawling on my face. Twilight will blink as night quickly fades. Lay awake again in the same place. Every morning ends the same. Meet that orange sun as the room spins endlessly, staring up from my bed. Yes, staring up from my bed. Well, another white pill melts in a red stream. Body, it rises like warm coffee steam into the cool air that I slowly breathe. Dry lungs, eyes that scream as the wind whistles through my pale cheekbones. stumble along. Falling, smoke a cigarette, as I slowly bone. Lay back again in the loam. Every morning, neath that blood red sun, I reach under my bedside. Fill my shy mouth with what's left. Empty the bars I hide. Yes, empty the bars I hide. Veins as fall stands up, limbs they wither like the buds on a tulip. But I just drink that same poison cup, shaking hands as they shun.